everyone. Welcome to our very special bonus episode of Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This is going to be part one of a two-part bonus episode extravaganza where we answer your listener questions from our Check in the Inbox segment. These are questions that we got that we did not have time to answer during a regular episode. So here we have them in a big bonus episode.
That's right.
So here we are. We are here to answer your questions.
Yay!
And Shauna, I think we should just dive right in because I have a question here for you. You ready?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Diana from Oaklawn, Illinois says, my burning question is for Shauna. How has her relationship with her oldest daughter changed since she had a new baby? I want an update since Shauna feared it would change before she had her baby. So, Shauna, you're dying to know.
That is such a good question, and one I haven't reflected on too much just because I've been living it. But basically, I would say that it's gone in stages, and at first, after having Cece, it was really hard with the older daughter, because, you know, I was just all consumed with breastfeeding and not sleeping, and I couldn't put Elle to bed, really, because I was on baby duty, and so Steve took over a lot of those duties, and he was a rock star. He was amazing at it. But it just meant I had less time with her. And, you know, she, I think, was kind of acting out a bit from the whole change in her life and stuff. And then as, like, Cece has gotten older, my relationship with Elle has gotten better. We've gotten closer. And one-on-one time has been key for us. You know, I can really tell that she craves it, and I crave it, so I try to, like, take her to ice cream or take her swimming just by myself without the rest of the family so that the two of us can bond. And I mean, my love for her is as strong as ever, if not stronger. Seeing her be a big sister is like really cool. But it's challenging, you know, for an older sibling, I think, to have their entire life uprooted. And you really do see that come out in their behavior and stuff. And she's got some impulsive behavior that's kind of tricky sometimes. But she's also incredibly loving and wonderful with Cece. Like, she just like made up a nickname for her. She calls her my little love.
No, come on.
I mean, I'm just like, where did you come up with that? It's so
cute.
Sweet, right? So she's really cute and sweet. And I adore her. And my fears were unfounded. Everything is good. It's great. And it's really only getting better as Cece gets older. So there you have it.
One of my friends who has two kids, what the way they described it was, when you have your first kid, you can't understand how the depth of your love is going to reveal itself, basically. And then when you have a second kid, he couldn't believe the breadth of his love, which I thought was really
cool.
Sweet
way of putting it. Yeah, that's really cool. I have to say, like, I did not know if I could love another little person as much as I loved Elle when she was the only one, right? It was just like, whoa, that's so amazing to feel that for someone. How is it ever going to match with another baby? And it does. It definitely does. Sometimes it might take a while, you know, but it's definitely there and it's awesome. So, yeah.
Well, there you have it. Diana from Oaklawn, Illinois. I think I was also curious about that. So I'm glad to hear that everything is going awesome with you guys.
Yeah. All right. Our next question is from Brittany G. Brittany asks, my mother-in-law has asked over and over again if she could be in the delivery room. We are close, but honestly, I don't feel comfortable enough to have her in the room. At first, I just wanted my husband and I only, but as more time passes, I really want to have my mother. Any thoughts? I know it would really hurt my mother-in-law, but I just want to be as comfortable as possible in the delivery room, and she tends to stress me out. I just don't want to hurt her by only inviting my mother. I'm at the point now where I'm almost wishing for a C-section so I don't have to worry about our mothers. Oh, I think you could relate, Laura. Yes, maybe.
I can relate to this mostly because I ended up with the C-section, so I didn't have to worry about it. But actually, I was in a really similar situation. I'm very close to my mother-in-law. I love her to death. But I didn't know if I was quite comfortable having her in the delivery room. And it really stressed me out trying to figure out how to navigate that because I was the same way. I wanted my husband in the delivery room. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, I might just want my mom in there. Like, I think I'm going to want my mom in the delivery room with me to, like, help partially as moral support, partially to be sort of an advocate for me. And, you know, Corey was going to be in the thick of it, too. So I thought I wanted a sort of slightly more neutral third party, but someone who could, you know, be my champion as well. And honestly, I was really stressed out about it because I am a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
I am the kind of person who I will definitely put my comfort second, third, fourth in order just to make sure that nobody else feels like uncomfortable or sad or has hurt feelings.
Yeah.
And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this is like one moment where you are really the person who needs to be in control. You know, you mm-hmm. have so much going on. If you do end up having, you know, a vaginal delivery and you have people in the delivery room with you, the intensity of that is something that you can't control, but what you can control is your surroundings, right? You can control who's there and how they react. And
yeah,
I think going with your gut on that one, that, you know, you love your mother-in-law, but you think she would cause more stress than not, right? Like, think about both sides of the coin, like, or both scenarios, I should say. Which one makes you feel calm and which one makes you feel anxious, and go towards mm-hmm. the calm one. Now, how to explain it to her, I mean, that's tough, you know, but she's hopefully going to understand that you can say like, look, I want you at the hospital. I want you to see the baby as soon as you can, but I just really need this to be, you know, with your son and with my mom. And that's really all I want. I will say, if you are like me and want to be a total coward about it, you could look into your hospital's policies because they may only let a certain number of people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could get out of that without having it be your fault. Or you could end up with a C-section like I did, which, by the way, ended up with my husband and my mother being in the room because my doctor allowed my mom to be in there videotaping it, if you recall.
That's right. So, that's so great.
And, you know, that was a special consideration. I do think my mother-in-law was like, well, can I go too? And first of all, my husband was like, Mom, you don't want to see a surgery. She's like, I do though. But there was no, you know, what that was definitely not allowed. I think they
And I've heard situations where doctors have kind of been on their patient's side and told a relative, like, yeah, nope, there's only two people allowed in this room, even if that's not necessarily true.
Oh, 100%. Okay. I think the labor and delivery nurses would totally do that for you. Like, you mm-hmm. could even have a code word, like, time to go, you know? And I think, but I understand the stress because it's a special occasion and everyone wants to be involved, but really, when it comes down to it, it's a special moment for you and your husband, and then you get to invite who you want in. And if your mom's going to bring you comfort, bring her in.
And, no shame in wanting to have it your way, for sure. One thing I will say that might be a possible, like, middle ground compromise, if this feels right for you, is maybe your mother-in-law could come join you for a little while during, like, what do they call it? Pre-labor or middle labor, like before you actually start pushing, mm-hmm, you know, while you're dilating, you're just hanging out in there. I mean, I was in labor for 20 hours and it was boring as shit. And like, you came, Laura, and like delivered something. I don't even remember.
I don't think I saw you. I came and delivered stuff to Steve, but I didn't come in the room, if I recall.
No, I think you did.
I did?
I don't know.
I came
Who
twice.
Knows? But anyway.
I know I came twice. And I remember one time not being able to go in the room because you had like just gotten whisked out for a possible C-section and then back again.
Oh, good times. Good times.
But it's true. So, there's a lot of sitting around and waiting.
Yeah. So maybe she could come and hang out for a little while and then be like, okay, the pushing's about to start. Bye. I don't know.
Yeah. Because it is an awfully intimate moment, you know? And there's not just like emotionally, but physically. So hopefully she'll understand. But I think you should go with your gut. If you think you don't want her in there, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surround yourself with support. And like, keep us updated. And you know what? This actually is somewhat related to an audio question we have from Courtney. Should I play that?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Shauna. Hi, Laura. Been listening since the beginning. And I was pregnant right along with you guys. So that was a pretty fun adventure. I always love listening to the show every week and hearing all about your guys' crazy adventures in parenting. I guess my burning question is, how do you guys deal with boundaries? This is something that I am struggling with as a first-time mom, specifically with my mother-in-law. So I don't know. That could maybe be a two-part question. All right. Let me know what you guys think. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good question, Courtney. That can be a tricky one because oftentimes once you have a baby, it's almost like you're opening your door to all the family members who want to be a part of that child's life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've established that Laura's a people pleaser. I am also, for the most part, a people pleaser. And so it can be tricky. And I give in a lot. But I will say my husband and I have had some experience with deciding that we need to be assertive when it comes to our child's safety. So like when Cece was born, we sent an email to the family as like, if you want to come visit her, you need to have your flu vaccination. And if you don't, then you don't like get to hold her. You don't get to come within 6 feet of her, basically. And asking family members to keep their pets separate from our kids if they have a history of aggression. And sometimes that's awkward, you know, it's really, it could be really awkward, but I don't know. I feel like you got to stand your ground, especially when it comes to your kids' safety.
Well, for me, it's helped to sort of externalize it. So I am a people pleaser. I find it extremely hard to disappoint other people when it comes to like me, when it comes to stuff that I want. But when I think about it, what I'm doing is I am trying to take care of my baby and he's external from me. So what I'm doing is I'm people pleasing, but for the baby, right? So I can sort of externalize it. Like it's not me who doesn't want your adorable dog to visit. It's the fact that my baby needs to survive the afternoon, you know? So like, but yeah, I also sent out an email about vaccines, was very strict about it. And there were people who were like, I don't know, flu vaccines aren't important. I'm like, great, if they're not important for you, that's not a big deal. You know, I'll see you after my baby is out of the newborn phase, you know, because I'm not interested in, it's important for me to have those boundaries like we're talking about because I am like drawing a line of safety around my baby. There's actually been a lot of discussion about this regarding naps. I don't know if you've had a similar experience as this, but I'm pretty not regimented about like exactly when my baby goes down for a nap, but I use wake windows. And there have been times where, especially like when my mom is visiting, where she's like, he's having fun. He's not looking tired. He shouldn't need to nap. Or the inverse of like, I wake him up if he's napped for 2 hours, because I don't know, taking care of babies has to do that. And it's worked for us. And my mom will be like, he's tired. Let him sleep longer. I'm like, what is it, moms? Let him sleep or not sleep, you know, whatever it is. And I've been throwing my mom under the bus, but, you know, she allows me to because she knows I love her. But, you know, other people do that. Oh, like, why don't you come out and for another, you know, cup of coffee? Like, he doesn't need to nap yet or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And I've had to set those boundaries because the few times I've been like, well, maybe I could just go run this one more errand or I could, you know, go meet this person for a coffee, even though it's his nap time. It's, you know, fucked me over. Like, it's ended up,
those always end in disaster and you regret it.
Disaster. Like, it ends in him not sleeping well that night or him screaming his head off, you know? So that helps to see the cause and effect.
Yes, exactly. You see the repercussions of if you give in. One thing I will add is that if it's not your own family and you need to deal with in-laws, I find that encouraging your partner to step up and have that conversation is incredibly important. Hopefully your partner might be willing to do that on your behalf and step in and like have some conversations because it's so much easier for your partner to talk to their mom. You know what I mean? Like you haven't lived your whole life with that woman. Your partner has. So there's a level of comfort and ease of communication that might not be there with the in-law.
Highly recommend that. Yes, as well. So, but yeah, my tactics are externalizing it, saying I'm supporting the baby, not trying to be selfish. That helps. And then, you know, yeah, I agree. Get that partner to talk to their parents.
Yes, do it.
Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got more questions and answers for you.
Let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Hey! And we're back. Shauna, hit us with the next question.
Our next question is from Kat Piovano. Hope I said that right. She says, hi, I was wondering if you had a conversation with your husbands about how you would approach parenting. Do you ever have big disagreements concerning parenting style? If so, how do you confront them and give in to certain aspects when you feel like you would do it differently?
That's a very good question. Well, I've definitely had conversations with Corey about how we're approaching parenting. We never like sat down. Did you guys? We never like had like a moment where like, okay, this is our philosophy.
I don't remember.
I know it's been a while for you. Well, I will say like for me, I basically bought a couple Rye parenting books. That's R-I-E parenting books, like because you recommended them and then handed them to Corey. That was basically like our big conversation about parenting style.
Yeah, kind of ours too, except I just gave him a verbal download because Steve, I love you, but you don't read the parenting books.
I think I summarized a bunch of it. But, you know, I think we knew that we both sort of wanted a more gentle approach. And the way Rye models parenting for you is like really, it's respectful. It treats them like they're worthwhile human beings, not just like, you know, leeches that are attached to your side. But also, I feel like it's somewhat common sense. I don't know. For me, it was pretty common sense. It was like, if you approach it like they are human beings who deserve your respect, this is how you would treat them. And so once I came into that sort of kernel of knowledge, it made sense to me. And I mentioned it to Corey. I think we did have a moment where I was like, I want to make sure that we don't, you know, treat the baby with disrespect, essentially. And he was like, yeah, duh, of course. But, you know, and then we both read the Rye books and it was kind of over. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's pretty much how we did it, too. I will say it gets more challenging as the child ages because, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say we have, you know, we're dealing with an infant so far. So.
Exactly. And the Rye stuff I've noticed really is great for younger children. My older daughter's approaching four now, and I'm starting to feel like she's aging out of the Rye stuff. Not that I'm going to stop treating her with respect. But a lot of the, like, gentle redirection and stuff like that really works well for babies and young toddlers. But older children, I'm starting to realize, need a little bit different type of discipline. So I think Steve and I are starting to figure out the waters on this one. And we do kind of disagree sometimes, I think, because I am willing to like look into books like 1-2-3 Magic, where it's like you tell your kid that you're going to count to three, and if they don't change their behavior by the time you get to three, they like go take a time out in their room and take, you know, take a minute to calm down or whatever. And he's just straight up told me he doesn't, you know, think that she should be, you know, having the type of consequence where there's a timeout right now because she's still so impulsive. And I'm like, well, yeah, that does kind of make sense. And so I think we're really good at talking about our disagreements on this kind of stuff and trying to come to a middle ground. Sometimes we do struggle, though, with Elle because it does get a lot harder.
Yeah, when they start talking back to you, I imagine it gets infinitely more difficult.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel kind of bad about this, too, because like I feel like Corey just looks to me as sort of like the default decision maker on these things because I'm home with the baby all the time. And I guess I could look at it as like he trusts me, but I want him to be involved in it, you know? But so far we haven't really had any disagreements because I'll sort of be like, hey, you know, this is how we're doing. This is how we're doing mealtimes. This is our stance on screen time or whatever. And he's like, cool. Maybe it's because I'm kind of easygoing on it too. Like I kind of want to go with the flow. So
yeah, you don't have any like wild theories or anything that you're following.
No, I really don't. I mean, I'm the mom who like happily gives my baby bites of like cake if I have a cake, you know, or like I just don't have a strong opinion about specific discipline other than the respectful thing. Like and by the way, spanking. I don't spank. I don't believe in spanking. So I told Corey that. And I think we did have a talk about that early, like early in the pregnancy. I was like, I will never tolerate you know, hitting my child or but thankfully he was like, yeah, of course, you know, mm-hmm. like he was on board with that. So,
yeah.
And I guess he could have not been, 'cause I think he said he got like spanked occasionally when he was a kid. So, mm-hmm. but you know, that was my one hard and fast thing, but thankfully he agreed with it. So,
yeah, I think that was just an unstated thing with Steve and I don't think we ever had that conversation. It was just kind of assumed. So there was a lot of just like assumed agreement too, mm-hmm. I think, going in. But we'd also been together a hell of a long time by the time we finally had
that
a kid.
That is true. So. I will say that's a really helpful thing, is to be with your partner for a hell of a long time before you have kids. And then you don't even have to have conversations. No, but it is a thing. And I'm curious to see how it changes as the baby gets older too.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys will be fine and work it out well. One last thing I wanted to add to this one is one of the best pieces of advice that I read right after I had my first baby was something like, let your partner do stuff. Let your partner mm-hmm. take charge of things and do it differently. Let them, quote unquote, fail or do it wrong. So like if you see your partner going to change the baby's diaper and you don't, you know, you wouldn't wipe the butt so vigorously, or you wouldn't, I don't know, I can't think of anything. Just like do something different or wrong, or like the wrong time, or they give a bath a different way than you would. Like mm-hmm. learn to bite your tongue so that your partner can feel a sense of ownership in the process. And I'd had to do that, like, you know, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist and I get in my ways and my routines with the baby, because I kind of, like you know, I was at home with the baby and kind of mm-hmm. had more of take chargeness of it all. And so I decided to step back, let him do his things. And, you know, you learn to relax and they learn to take care of the baby, you know, and it's good. I really enjoyed that piece of advice.
Yeah, as long as everyone's safe, you know. It doesn't really matter whether there's like diaper cream on this one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It helps to have the diaper on the right way, like front to back.
I suppose, yes. Thank you all so much for your questions. These have been so great. We do have more listener questions that we are dying to answer, and we are going to answer them in a second bonus episode, which will be out next week. So stay tuned.
We do. But for now, we should just say thank you so much for listening to our bonus episode. If you have any questions for us, you can always hit us up at BigPetPositivePodcast.com or on the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a closed group, but I will add you if you request to join. We also have an email address, contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.